From the automotive capital of the world, welcome to The Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
When I come up to a stop, if I use a brake and stop, then when I let off the brake to go, it jerks.
Problems with your car, truck, motorcycle, minivan, or RV? The solution is just a phone call away. 1-800-859-0957. That's 1-800-859-0957.
I put new front rotors, and when I turn left or right with my foot on the brake, I get a pulsation of the ABS.
And remember, The Car Show is designed for everyone, whether you do your own work, take your car to the dealership, or to the independent service center of your choice.
When it's cold and I start to move, it like the transmission slips and then it catches. What's the answer for that, guys?
Your calls and more when The Car Show returns.
Tracking down a coolant leak isn't always simple because the problem can come from multiple components. K-Seal delivers a one-step multi-purpose repair that you can trust. One major symptom is white smoke from the exhaust. That's often steam, coolant entering the combustion chamber and burning off as it exits the engine. That's a strong sign of a head gasket failure. Another warning sign is bubbles in the header tank. That suggests combustion or exhaust gases are leaking past the head gasket and into the cooling system. In extreme cases, pressure can even cause the coolant to overflow. Both situations call for K-Seal Ultimate. Simply shake the bottle and pour into the cooling system via the radiator cap or the expansion tank, then run your engine as normal. From head gasket failures to leaks in your water pump casing, coolant leaks can come from a lot of places. Visit kseal.com for a concise list of common symptoms and the right solutions for each situation. And remember, don't just seal it, you K-Seal it.
This is The Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
It is The Car Show. That means you're listening to the right spot. If you want to have a car question, we're here every Thursday, 10 a.m. Eastern. The number to reach us, 866-365-7746. If you want to email us, you want to send us a voicemail, you want to call us, all the information is right there at thecarshow.com. Very easy to find. It's right at the top of the page, so you can't miss it. I want to remind you as we get started here that we are brought to you in part by Hotshot Secret and their everyday diesel treatment. EDT is a powerful fuel additive that boosts cetane, removes water, and adds much-needed lubricity to protect your fuel system and injectors. Better mileage, smoother performance, protect your diesel every time you fill up with EDT. You can learn more about EDT at hotshotsecret.com. We are joined, as we are every time this week, or every week this time, by world-class technician Daniel C. Petras. How are you, Mr. Petras?
No, excellent. And what about you, Brian? I see you look real alert this morning.
I heard my voice on the radio last week, Dan. You'll laugh at this. And I looked at my wife and said, I don't know who that is, but he sounds incredibly handsome. And she said he did not.
Well, go by the boss. Go by what she is.
Exactly. What's been going on in the shop this week with you? Anything good?
Well, you know, you made a mention about Hotshot Secret a moment ago. And what I had into the shop was a 2019 Ford F-150. And it had the famous or infamous Coyote engine, which the Coyote engine is what Ford named this engine. It's a 5 liter that replaced the 5.4 engine back in 2011. They had a little bit of a problem where, and I feel it's because of the recommendation of oil changes, where they would end up with an engine tick, an upper end tick. And this was a good opportunity for me. Was the customer's vehicle that came in, his 2019, 131,000 miles, and he would wait 7,000 or 8,000 miles on an oil change. And of course, a little bit more forgiving because the oil capacity is like 8 quarts in the crankcase of this.
Oh, okay.
But I'm still the type of guy, let's not go beyond 5 on that, even with the larger capacity. So I had an opportunity to call up Advance Auto Parts and have them bring over to me a container, a 1 quart container of Hotshot Secret, the tick Fix, Protect.
Oh, yeah.
And right now, after the oil change, and it's been about, it's almost been a week. He's going to come back to me and give me an update on what's happening and see if any of the engine noise decreased. So this is a perfect opportunity for someone that has, one of the Ford engines. In fact, they're on their fourth generation now. His was the third generation. And the third generation back in 2018 is where they came out with the port fuel and then also the GDI, the gasoline injected engine, where it has two different types of injection systems built into one. And of course, this is the one, the GDI system is the one also that we talk about when we talk about even CRC products, about using their GDI service kit.
Oh, yeah.
For these GDI things. And again, he really didn't do anything to this vehicle for a long time. So we'll find out possibly in the near future what type of report we're going to get back on how much of this ticking noise in his F-150, his Coyote 5-liter engine, yeah, how much of it has diminished. And again, just like any type of great additives that are out there, it's not instant. It does take a little bit of time. So we'll see what happens as he puts on 1,000 miles. And I know he'll give me a call and report back to me. So that was one in the shop that wasn't a real tough one, but it's a good opportunity to see how these products work out in the field, a customer based.
Absolutely. Somebody who's driving, real life driving, not just test driving. They're driving it every day to see. And you're right. I think we all sort of in this, and it's the way sort of the world works now, you want instant gratification. You expect, I'm going to pour that in and it's going to fix it. It's going to take some time to work through the system to do what it needs to do, any chemistry you put in your car.
Right. And this Tick Fix Protect from Hotshot Secret, mm-hmm, you actually replace that with 1 quart of oil. And I know I went a little light on it this time. It holds eight quarts in the system, and maybe we should have maybe gave it another pint, but let's start off slow and let's see how well this product will work in his engine to eliminate that ticking noise.
Yeah, and if it's like the other Hotshot Secret products, I'm sure it'll work wonderfully.
Yes.
and I don't say that because I'm they're advertising. I say it because I've used quite a bit of the Hotshot Secret products, and they do work.
Well, over the years being in testing laboratories and working with engine dynos and chassis dynos and, mm-hmm, seeing is believing, especially when you take a look at something using, cameras and borescopes and then see the before and after, it does make a difference. In fact, the biggest thing is what I like doing is, putting something in a customer's car without them knowing it, like for an example, like pouring in, some of the Hotshot Secret into the fuel tank, the fuel system cleaner. And I'll tell you what, they'll come back and they'll say, I don't know, but when I picked it up from your shop, it seemed like it had more pep. So,
and then you don't tell them and you just take the credit as being a world-class technician.
Right. No, and a magic wand.
There you go. I could just picture you doing that, Dan. I was like, no, Dan can't. Dan, I don't think Dan could lie if he tried. We are the car show. Speed Perks is now Advance Rewards at Advance Auto Parts, featuring a fresh new look and more ways to save. You can earn points every time you shop, plus enjoy bonus offers on products you buy most. Rack up rewards fast with $5 for every 500 points earned. Download the Advance Auto Parts mobile app to track your points, access exclusive deals, even combine coupons up to $100 for your next purchase. You can learn more at advanceautoparts.com. Today's OE fix from Dorman, the electronic power steering rack. The electronic power steering rack on certain Dodge Ram 1500 trucks are a common failure item. The steering can become very heavy or stiff, especially at low speeds or while parking. Unlike gradual failure with hydraulic systems, EPS usually fails abruptly when the motor or electronics just stop working. You won't lose steering completely, but the steering effort increases dramatically, which can be dangerous at low speeds or during emergency maneuvers. Dorman's electronic power steering rack is engineered with a number of advantages over OE. It features built-in surge protection and optimized component layout to reduce heat and electrical interference. The Dorman electronic power steering rack also features a UV-40 coating that seals against moisture, salt spray, road chemicals, and corrosion. No dealer programming is needed thanks to its proprietary software developed by Dorman that mimics all original equipment EPS rack functionality. With applications for select vehicles, you can find the Dorman OE Fix electronic power steering rack at most automotive retailers, both in-store and online, and you can learn more at DormanProducts.com. Compatible with any color or type of antifreeze coolant, Peak Titanium Antifreeze Plus coolant features an advanced proprietary formula that cleans while also protecting against corrosion and the formation of films that contribute to lost coolant flow and overheating. Peak Titanium is guaranteed for 15 plus years or 500,000 miles when a complete cooling system flush and fill is performed and proper cooling system maintenance is followed. You can learn more at peakauto.com or buy it today at O'Reilly Auto Parts and at amazon.com.
To The Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
Remember, The Car Show is brought to you in part by the newly redesigned AutoBatteries.com, your one-stop source for information on vehicle batteries, including testing and voltage procedures, maintenance tips, and seasonal care guidelines. It's all right there at the newly redesigned AutoBatteries.com. It's a great site. I've used it. Dan's used it. It's very helpful if you're replacing or want to know how to replace or anything you need to know about your car's battery, it's there. It's great.
Right. And overall, too, it'll lead you into the right direction of what battery to put in your vehicle, yep. Mainly because of the fact you don't want to undersize. You want to at least go equal or above, and it'll give you the options what you can do.
Right. And when it comes to batteries, you don't go by price. You go by what AutoBatteries.com tells me, but you go by the size, the voltage, that kind of stuff. You don't go by the price of the battery necessarily.
Right, and you don't want to take a vehicle that has an AGM battery, a glass mat battery, mm-hmm. and use a flooded acid battery.
Right.
There's a reason why they recommend a specific battery.
Yeah, and it's all right there at AutoBatteries.com. It is. It actually is very user-friendly. If I use it, it's very user-friendly because, you know, I'm not the brightest bulb in the pack. You know that, Dan. here's an email. It's he has a Chrysler 200 2.4-liter engine, doesn't give me mileage or year of the car. Says his engine splash shield is falling apart. I've zip-tied it in the past, but it's time to replace it. I'm planning to rent time on a lift and order the replacement parts online. He goes, before I commit to this, here's what I'm trying to figure out. Number one, how do I check that the mounting holes on the car aren't damaged or stripped before ordering the new part? And should I replace all the push pins and bolts? How do you determine which clips or fasteners to order ahead of time? He says, I don't have much hands-on experience, but this seems like a very doable DIY project to me.
Yes, and it probably is. So what I would recommend in a case like this, not knowing the year, but he did mention, yeah. or you mentioned, it was a Chrysler 200, which yep. hasn't been around for a long time, which is an indicator that it's an older vehicle.
Car, yeah.
So my recommendation would be is that you can actually buy a engine splash shield package, a mm-hmm. kit that would include the mounting hardware, the bolts and the nuts and everything that you need. Because if you're renting a lift, mm-hmm. what you don't want to do is find out you don't have all the parts and have to come back again. Or
yeah.
some of the items you've taken off, you can't put back on. You know, there's many different factors that could come in as an alternative to that. Depending if you have room for storage, they don't take up a lot of room, as you may want to consider, you know, if you're a do-it-yourself or to buy a pair of drive-on ramps where you can pull your car up on it and,
oh, yeah.
Set the parking brake. And that way you can take all the time in the world. And if you do need another component if you don't have it all there, it gives you that extra time. Because I know when you go after a lift or rent a lift, what happens is you're being charged by the hour.
And oh, okay.
You want to be cost effective.
And I didn't even know you could rent a lift. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, certain parts of the country.
And that's, I mean, that, I guess that's handy if on what, depending on what part of the car you're working on. But you're right, with something like this, it seems like, especially like an engine splash shield, where you can drive without it for a little bit. Yeah, you could, if you pull it up on the ramps instead of on the lift, and you pull it down, you can pull it off, drive, get whatever you need, pull it back on, you know, a little easier. And you're right, those ramps, I used to have a set in the garage. I think I gave them away to somebody, but they are, they're very, it's not like you got a big piece of equipment to store. They stack on top of each other, go right in the corner. They're very easy to store, especially if you're going to keep working on, if you're going to do more maintenance yourself.
Right. And as a do-it-yourselfer, you know, that, you know, not a bad way to go. This way, instead of having and investing in jack stands and a hydraulic jack, you just have a simple drive-on thing. And, you know, we always want to remember about safety, too. If you do use the ramps, you always want to make sure you set the parking brake. And, of course, you want to make sure you block the wheels.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, safety first. You don't want that car coming down on you.
No. No.
All right, here's another one, Dan. This person has a 2013 Ford Escape. They said the handle, the door handle, keeps getting stuck out when I open the door. I found the TSB online, did the service on the handle to reinforce the front screw. Said I also used lithium grease on the interior handle parts, but the handle still gets stuck open when I open the door with it. The weight of the door being pulled open seems to lock the little side extensions on the rear part of the handle behind the plastic wings. It's like, you want to know, How can I fix this? The spring I can see inside the rear portion of the handle is intact and nothing looks to be broken.
Okay. Well, he mentioned lithium grease, which is not a good penetrant or lubricant overall for the problem he's having. Most likely the latch assembly itself, where the lock rod's at, is binding because, you know, it's an old car, 13 years old, a lot of, water and a lot of, maybe depending on where the vehicle's at, a lot of salt spray.
Yeah.
So I would recommend that you actually spray into, you know, get a good quality product, a lubricant. You can go to Advanced Auto Parts, pick out the one that you like best. I mean, there's so many different brands out there, and actually use a lock and unlock the door as you're spraying into the latch assembly.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes what you can do is you can remove, there's three screws that will hold the latch on, remove one of the screws, and sometimes you can spray into that screw hole, which will allow that lubricant to come down inside of the latch. Because what's happening and why the door handle's staying up, is, yes, there was a technical service bulletin about it, but the main reason why is it's binding because it's has a little bit of surface rust or corrosion there, and that's why it's sticking.
And the lubricant will break that up. What about, what about, and this just answer me this. If there's a little bit of rust or something, corrosion, something binding it up, would you spray a little blaster in there ahead of to break that up?
Yeah, you can. Yes, that would work too. But you know, in many cases, if you look at how the latch assembly is made, it's encased and you can't really get at to that point where you need to lubricate. And that's why I know for a fact that if you pull the top screw hole out, that'll be able to, and you don't blast, like you said, PB Blaster is a great product, but use it with the Pro Straw where you can just have it trickle in and then up and down and spray the different areas. And it's not going to take much. Once you free that up and break it away, it you're done. He'll notice right off the top that that handle's not sticking anymore.
No. And that's, if there's something in there causing it to stick, you start with that to break up what's sticking. Then you follow it up with the lubricant, right? Or is a blaster with the blaster lubricant?
It is. It's a penetrant and lubricant.
Oh, well, then there you go. Why you even worry about another product? Just put the blaster in there. And you're right. With the Pro Straw, I've used that. That's an amazing thing. I mean, I'm used to the old cans where you put the little red wand into the hole, and that all that does is, you know, spray it down further. But that Pro Straw with control flow technology, that's amazing. You can you hit the button and like a drop comes out right where you need it to be. It's really kind of a cool thing.
Right. Yes, you can regulate it one way or the next.
Yeah, as much or as little as you need. So in something like this, you just put a couple of drops in there and give it some time. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Here's one. 2004 Toyota Highlander base. We may run out of time here. We got about a minute.
Okay.
105,000 miles, V4 engine, all-wheel drive. The oil lamp started lighting for a few seconds, then it would go off. Said it happened infrequently. Drove the car about 150 miles and idled it a lot, he said. Got around to changing the oil himself, and when he got under there, it said no more than 2 quarts came out, and his heart sank, which, having had something similar to this, I understand completely. He said he always took care of his car. He worried if he might have damaged the engine. So when we get it back on the other side of the break, we will answer that to see if Dan says you've damaged your engine and what what the punishment might be for that. I know with me, I got a severe talking to. We'll be back out of the break. Tracking down a coolant leak isn't always simple because the problem can come from multiple components. K-Seal delivers a one-step multi-purpose repair that you can trust. One major symptom is white smoke from the exhaust. That's often steam. Coolant entering the combustion chamber and burning off as it exits the engine. That's a strong sign of a head gasket failure. Another warning sign is bubbles in the header tank. That suggests combustion or exhaust gases are leaking past the head gasket and into the cooling system. In extreme cases, pressure can even cause the coolant to overflow. Both situations call for K-Seal Ultimate. Simply shake the bottle and pour into the cooling system via the radiator cap or the expansion tank, then run your engine as normal. From head gasket failures to leaks in your water pump casing, coolant leaks can come from a lot of places. Visit kseal.com for a concise list of common symptoms and the right solutions for each situation. And remember, don't just seal it, you K-Seal it.
Car Show continues with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
It does. Remember, thecarshow.com is where you can get all the information about how to reach us. We tape every Thursday, 10 a.m. Eastern. Very easy to get a hold of us. Just head to thecarshow.com. Email, voicemail, phone number, all the details are there. If you've forgotten it, just head to thecarshow.com. You can also there you can listen to old episodes or download the whole show and listen to it as you drive around. Dan and I are really good passengers in your car, and we don't even want to share your snacks. So very nice. I want to remind you as we get going here, we're brought to you by CRC Parts Cleaner and Degreaser, formulated to destroy the toughest oil, dirt, and grime from metal automotive parts, including carburetors, air intakes, engine components, suspension parts, and so much more. You drive over to crcindustries.com for more information. Before the break there, Dan, we were talking, this gentleman has a 2004 Toyota Highlander base model, V4 engine, all-wheel drive, 105,000 miles. He went to change the oil himself. No oil light coming on, no noise, no driving. He said the oil light would come on sometimes with a hard start or if he pulled up into his driveway quickly. Other than that, it was fine. When he changed the oil himself, he said no more than 2 quarts came out. He was in a panic. He's not sure if he's damaged the engine or not. He said the temperature gauge never exceeded normal. He never smelled anything. Should he be worried is his question.
Well, just like anything, over time, especially if, you know, it's an older vehicle, 20 years old, we don't know how often he changed oil.
Right.
You know, it could be a possibility that, you know, not really a bunch of miles on it for the age of the vehicle. And if he would say, for an example, changes oil every 5,000 miles, well, maybe he was only changing it once a year.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, stop and go driving. What happens is the oil ages, you have blow-by gases that come into the combustion chamber, into the crankcase. What happens is the oil breaks down. When oil breaks down, you start to consume the oil, and the oil consumption is there also because the oil ring itself could have a little bit of carbon that's built up around it. So what what I would do is this: start off with a fresh oil change, oil and filter, use the proper grade and viscosity. Then what I would do is on that engine, I would also go to Advance Auto Parts when you picked up your oil and filter and buy a PCV valve, because an inoperative PCV valve can also cause oil consumption. Replace the PCV valve. And then what he can do as an added feature is he can go and get it's made by Hot Shots Secret. And what it is, it's called a stiction eliminator. And the stiction eliminator itself is going to help if there is any buildup on that oil ring. It's going to help over time to help remove that carbon buildup on that oil ring to scrape that oil back. So by doing all of this and just keep an eye on the oil, you know, make sure that you're going to, you know, for a while, check the oil if you're driving it at least once a week and monitor it and see if you are consuming any oil. But my gut feeling is he probably didn't change it for a while. It consumed the oil and he has a problem, but doesn't have a problem. But by doing this, it'll be a slow cleanse and hopefully cut down on that oil consumption.
Okay. And then the problem with the stiction eliminator, that should help the problem too.
Right. That'll help the carbon build up around the, you know, piston rings and also, you know, around the lifters. Because what stiction is, it's the actual oil that's dried up and hardened. Yeah. Is what stiction is.
Yeah. So you wouldn't, he's not necessarily, he shouldn't be panicking about this.
Not at this time. No.
Good. That's good to know. Cause I mean, problem with oil, we all know that's in basically in your car, that's its blood. And if it goes bad, you're in big, big trouble quick.
Right. And so many times, you know, I've seen on older vehicles, people, you know, it's a secondary car. They don't put the miles on like they used to. And they're looking at the sticker and say, oh, well, let's see. I have two more thousand miles to go. But guess what? Yeah. That 2,000 miles, you know, it's already been a year. So,
right.
You know, and again, we don't know driving habits.
Yeah, you can change your oil. You cannot change your oil too often, but you can change it not often enough. Isn't that what you say?
Yeah, that's
correct. I always reverse that, and I know it's wrong. Here's another one. This person has a 2015 Corolla. 108,000 miles. I said, after some routine maintenance at the dealer, there was a lot wrong, and the quotes were very expensive. It says, I'm a grad student and lost my job recently, so I'd like to do some of this myself if possible. I don't have any mechanical experience. The most I've done is change my spark plugs. He says, I figure if something is simple, I should just learn how to do it, order the OEM part myself, do it myself. However, even after looking them up, it's difficult to gauge which of these have huge consequences if I do them wrong. Here's what needs to be done. He said, rear pads and rotors, the PCV valve replaced, drive belt replacement. He said his dealer told him what needs to be done also is the timing chain tensioner gasket, the throttle chamber housing needs to be cleaned, and the MAF sensor. It just says MAF sensor. I'm assuming it needs to be replaced. It doesn't say.
Well, that was a cleaning.
Okay. So those need to be cleaned. He says, I'm going to let the dealer do the brakes because I'm not trying to kill anybody. He says, while I've heard some people say that some dealers will make things up, I don't think that's the case here. I take my car here all the time and nothing's ever done wrong. He said one time he needed a headlamp service. They quoted him $800 for the part. He went and bought the part himself and they put it on for him and the labor was much cheaper. He's wondering, besides the brakes, should he do these things himself? Will there be consequences if he does, like, the PCV valve or the timing chain tensioner? Is there any big consequences if he does those wrong?
Okay. Well, here's what you look at. It was talking about the tensioner gasket, okay, which means how bad of a leak was it? If it's not that bad, you know, there's a difference between seepage and leakage on an older car. Just because you see a little bit of wetness there doesn't mean.
Yeah.
My point is, if you see it on the ground, fix it.
Yeah,
if
that's
you don't
leak.
See it on the ground, you're okay for a while.
Okay.
But like the throttle chamber, what he's talking about is the throttle body and the mass airflow sensor. So what he can do on that, he can end up going to his neighborhood Advance Auto Parts store. He can purchase a can of CRC throttle body cleaner. He can purchase a can of CRC mass airflow sensor cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
He can then go to CRC site or any of the sites out there on how to do this cleaning. It's nothing to it. All you would need is a soft bristle brush. And then mm-hmm. by doing that cleaning, that's one process he saved money on.
Yep.
The other thing, Brian, would be also like even on the brakes himself, like you said, he's going to let the dealer do it.
Yep.
Same thing on the brakes. I mean, it's one of these things. It's if you have the equipment to do it, it's one thing. But let's back up a little bit and go right back to the cleaning. This is all stuff with basic hand tools that you can do. The throttle body cleaning, the mass airflow cleaning. And then again, too, he doesn't necessarily have to buy the OE parts. Don't think in your mind, there are so many great manufacturers out there, like, for an example, like Dorman yeah. products. Dorman products has been around 100 years plus. And he can buy that PCV valve. It's a very simple process to replace the PCV valve. Other areas of concern for any of the preventative maintenance, there's so many different sites that you can go to. It may not be specifically for your car, but you'll get the basic idea what you need to do.
Yeah,
but again, the rest of it's just basic maintenance.
Now, what about the PCV valve replacement or the drive belt replacement?
Well, the drive belt, which is the serpentine belt.
Yep.
If, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
So most of them have a tensioner that keeps tension on the belt.
Mm-hmm.
So if he would purchase the belt, we'll go for an example, Advanced Auto Parts.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he would purchase the belt from them, and they have a tool loaner program. And then what they can is he can actually, you know, you'll have to put a deposit down. He can, you know, rent the tool to put the belt on, because in many cases you have to have a long bar, a special socket or adapter in order to release that tension or to put the belt on. And again, you know, here we go. We'll talk about Daco products.
Mm-hmm.
Daco products, he can specify that he wants that Daco belt, get a premium belt. And what else is great, if you take that belt off and you forget on how to put it back on,
mm-hmm.
because it snakes all the way around, you know, serpentine all the way around. He can then go to Daco's site and look up for their serpentine belt routing and give him an idea how to put that belt back on.
Perfect. So it seems like this is all stuff he can do himself and maybe save a little bit of money in the process.
Save a lot of money.
There. Well, even better.
Yes.
Even better. And that's what we're all about here at The Car Show, saving you money, helping you do it yourself. You know, knowing when to do it yourself, knowing when I have to call Dan. Compatible with any color or type of antifreeze coolant, Peak Titanium Antifreeze Plus Coolant features an advanced proprietary formula that cleans while also protecting against corrosion and the formation of films that contribute to lost coolant flow and overheating. Peak Titanium is guaranteed for 15 plus years or 500,000 miles when a complete cooling system flush and fill is performed and proper cooling system maintenance is followed. You can learn more at peakauto.com or buy it today at O'Reilly Auto Parts and at amazon.com. Speed Perks is now Advanced Rewards at Advanced Auto Parts, featuring a fresh new look and more ways to save. You can earn points every time you shop, plus enjoy bonus offers on products you buy most. Rack up rewards fast with $5 for every 500 points earned. Download the Advance Auto Parts mobile app to track your points, access exclusive deals, even combine coupons up to $100 for your next purchase. You can learn more at advanceautoparts.com.
To The Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
Want to remind you that we are brought to you in part by Advance Auto Parts. See the road clearly with help from Advance Auto Parts. Just swing by and enjoy free wiper blade installation with your purchase. Their team will get your blades on fast so that you're ready for rain, snow, or anything in between that comes your way. I love that they'll put those blades on for you. I can put a blade on But if I feel like every time I need to replace my wiper blades, I still have to pull apart the instructions and figure it out like I did it the first time, you know? So it's nice to have somebody go, here, just do this for me, please, you know?
Makes it much easier.
Anytime I can get somebody to do something for me, I'm all about that. You know that. Here's another email, Dan. This person has a 2012 Ford Escape, 155,000 miles. It says no cranking, no start. Only the anti-theft logo is flashing on the dashboard when he cranks it, but there's no sound when he cranks it. Unable to display on the dashboard the odometer or the fuel autonomy. Other keys don't work either. He says, I've tried everything I can find online. Disconnecting the battery, waiting for the anti-theft to reset, waiting 30 seconds to recognize the key. He's changed the fuse for the anti-theft and the ignition. Nothing seems to work. He says, the battery's low, but boosting doesn't change anything. The PCM connector seems unresponsive. There's no sound when plugged or unplugged. Said it was running fine, and the email says, it running fine 4 hours ago, but cranking was slow. The last code it has in it is a P1633, which is a low cam code. I says, do you think it's worth changing the computer or reprogramming it? If yes, where can I find it, and how can I change it safely? And are there any other diagnostics or causes that I should be checking first?
Well, you know, going back in the memory banks, Brian, mm-hmm. Some of the early escapes like that, I had similar problems that may direct it to that area of, the PCM, the powertrain control module, mm-hmm. which if you had to change it, it's very simple because you raise the hood. It's right below the windshield wipers. It just bolts right in there. But in this case, I have a hard time believing that the PCM has failed.
Okay.
What I have found in a lot of these older vehicles is that the instrument panel, okay, the speedometer, the cluster,
right,
actually that is a computer. And the magic word here was that the odometer, things aren't lighting up on the instrument panel.
Right.
They're known for the circuit boards to have cold solder joints. So in this case, it's not the computer. It is a computer, but it's the instrument cluster. So he could probably, again, this may be something that may have to go to the professional, or if he's a little bit handy, is remove the cluster assembly. You can take off and disassemble the bezel and take a look at the backside of the printed circuit board. In a lot of cases, what you'll see is you'll see a shiny solder, mm-hmm. okay, and then the specific area may have a dulled out space, like a corrosion space. So I again would say that further diagnostics needs to be done, or you can take my word for it and just
just replace
take
it.
His cluster out, and he can take his cluster out and then send it into. There's a lot of remanufacturers out there in the country. He can, go online and. Put down, instrument cluster rebuild, and be able to go to the site, give them an idea on what it would take cost-wise and time-wise to have it properly repaired. But again, a step further would be with instead of a code reader, but an actual piece of diagnostic equipment where the service shop could actually take and do a deeper scan into it. But again, my past experience, I have found many of these instrument clusters with the symptoms he's having has failed.
Now, how would I get to the instrument, that instrument cluster?
Well, you have to remove a lot of the, for an example, mm-hmm. it's your cluster is your speedometer.
Right.
Okay. And so what you would have to do is you would have to remove the bezel around the instrumentation and pull that off. And then once you get that piece off, it's going to expose 4 7-millimeter screws
mm-hmm.
that are in there. And that's how you remove it. And then as you pull it back out, sometimes if it has a tilt steering wheel, you may have to take and actually, put the wheel down in order to get it out. But the cluster itself is not big. It's probably only 14 inches by, it's what you look at is when you look in your vehicle, the speedometer.
Yeah, cluster. So it's not like I've got to take the dashboard apart or anything. It's just
Well, you do have to take a little bit of a part. Yes.
Okay.
You do.
Okay. I just wonder because, you know, you were saying the instrument cluster is like, well, how do I get to that? Because that,
yeah,
it seems like something you could do yourself, but
every vehicle's different. So
exactly. Exactly. And you know, it's just, I was just curious where that was. Cause I remember, and this is a long time ago, going way back on the car show, you and Steve and Roger back in the day talking about having to pull the dashboard off and having to do, you know, and it's like, wow, that's a lot of work to get to that thing. That seems like somebody else should do that for me.
Yeah. Well, it, you know, when you think about it a little bit, people, a lot of people out there, they're a little bit more handier than what you think they are.
True.
But what you don't want to be doing, he in his mind thought it was a bad powertrain control module.
Right.
So he would have went through all this bother and spent hundreds of dollars and then found out
that wasn't
That wasn't the problem. So In this case, you may want to, you know, take it to a professional, to a shop to diagnose it the rest of the way.
Yeah.
But again, what I've seen in the past about a no start, no crank with the symptoms he's having turned out to be the instrument cluster, the circuit board itself had a cold solder joint, and that's what caused the problem.
There you go. It's problem solved. This person, last email here, has a 2018 Chevy Equinox, 233,000 miles on it, and he said it died last week. The garage says the best action is to replace the engine. They quoted him a little over $4,700 to replace it with an engine that has 75,000 miles on it. Said he's already been looking at a newer truck because he's assuming the cost would be expensive. The garage says if we replace the engine, the Equinox would be safe and good to go for a long time. He said, I've heard mixed things about 2018 LT all-wheel drive Equinoxes, and I'm unsure what to do. 233,000 body miles is a lot, and the cost of a new engine with labor could easily be used as a down payment on a newer car. Do I try this and get more life out of this vehicle with this engine, or do I just sell this Equinox for scrap and start looking for a newer vehicle? He goes, thanks for helping a guy with a lack of car knowledge.
Well, what I look at too, there's people that want cars and people that need cars.
Yeah.
You know, a friend of mine will end up getting a new car every 2 years. And, you know, you get down to it, in his case, anytime you're going to put that kind of money into a vehicle, you want to look at the rest of the vehicle. How are the tires? How's the suspension? How's the body? Is it rusted out? Is there any glass broken? How's the interior? Many things, yeah. 230,000 miles or whatever he has on the vehicle is nothing to think of. But I always say it like this. The average vehicle is what, $40,000?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, give or take.
So he says, yes, he could take that money for a down payment. But one thing you have to remember, you have sales tax involved. So if we'll say the average sales tax rate is $800
per
$10,000, and it's $40,000, that's $3,200 in sales tax you'll never recover back.
Yeah.
So you look at it that way and wave out the difference. You know, what do you want to do? But personally, you know, today with car payments, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's true.
You know, well, Brian, you just had an experience of buying a different car.
And I have, and you're correct. It's sticker shock times three.
Yes.
So maybe it's worth getting the new engine and driving this for a while.
Right. Just evaluate the rest of the vehicle to make sure you don't have to put more money into it.
Yeah, why not? I mean, you're right. It's a cost-benefit assessment, but, you know, you do what's cheapest ultimately.
Absolutely.
Have a safe driving week ahead, everybody.
Today's OE fix from Dorman, the electronic power steering rack. The electronic power steering rack on certain Dodge Ram 1500 trucks are a common failure item. The steering can become very heavy or stiff, especially at low speeds or while parking. Unlike gradual failure with hydraulic systems, EPS usually fails abruptly when the motor or electronics just stop working. You won't lose steering completely, but the steering effort increases dramatically, which can be dangerous at low speeds or during emergency maneuvers. Dorman's electronic power steering rack is engineered with a number of advantages over OE. It features built-in surge protection and optimized component layout to reduce heat and electrical interference. The Dorman electronic power steering rack also features a UV-40 coating that seals against moisture, salt spray, road chemicals, and corrosion. No dealer programming is needed thanks to its proprietary software developed by Dorman that mimics all original equipment EPS rack functionality. With applications for select vehicles, you can find the Dorman OE Fix electronic power steering rack at most automotive retailers, both in-store and online, and you can learn more at DormanProducts.com.